My name's Steve. I'm a compulsive eater. The earliest experience I can remember is when I was probably five. I don't even think I was in school yet. But my dad and I drove our grandparents back to Indiana, where they came from. We drove them back to where they came from, and we dropped their car and stayed there for I don't know, I have no idea, a week maybe. And then we took the train back. And I remember being there. The two things I remember about being in Indiana, there was fireflies, which I'd never seen before. And these peanut butter and butter sandwiches that my grandmother would make for me. And I mean, you know, they were thick, you know, and she just kept making them for me, and I kept eating them. And she actually, you know, packed a satchel full, I think, you know, something like this for the train trip back on the train. And when I got back to Boise, my mom came to pick us up at the depot, and I remember her saying, you know, what have you done to him? What have you done to him? He's fat, you know? And I think she was just shocked, because I put on quite a bit of weight while I was gone. And that was the first time I ever, you know, identified myself that way. And I put that in my inventory. As I went through school, I was always kind of the chubby kid. And I think I developed a sense of humor as kind of a defense against it. You know, I couldn't punch everybody that called me fat or anything like that. So I, you know, just deflect it. And I got into junior high, and, I wasn't real big, but I was just, you know, overweight enough that the other kids could take shots and stuff like that. Not all of them, you know, but I was always felt real kind of, I don't know, like I wasn't good enough. And I developed that sense of humor, and that sense of humor would get me approval, you know, and get me thrown out of class once in a while. And, but I got through junior high, and I got into high school, and my mom said, you know, I know you've been trying to lose weight. And she fought weight her whole life too. She was a compulsive overeater, anorexic at times. And, looking back, and she said, there's a doctor downtown that can help you lose weight. Do you want to go? I said, yeah. And we went down there, and you go like at 6 o'clock in the morning, and you go into this office. This is in the '70s, early '70s. So things are pretty loose as far as regulation and all that goes. And he'd give me a shot, and which would wake me right up. And then they give you diet pills, but they were really speed. And, you know, you take one in the morning and one in the afternoon to keep your appetite down. And really, I went from 213 down to, I think, 173. And, I go there every weekday morning and get those, and then use the diet pills. And I started, you know, taking two diet pills instead of one. And then I started taking three instead of two, you know. And it's because of that effect. You know, this is the first time I ever felt really addicted to something or drawn to something like that. And so I go back, and they give me stronger ones because they figured the ones I was taking weren't working. And, you know, they just dispensed them in their office. There was no pharmacy or anything I had to go through. And pretty soon I was hooked on speed. And but I was losing weight. And I went back one morning to get my shot, and there was a sign on the door that said, doctor passed away over the weekend, office closed. And I was like, I was like 17 years old. I knew where to get speed. I knew where to get drugs. And so I was addicted to speed for about 8 years. Most of these teeth in my mouth aren't the originals. That's what one of the things speed will do. And I started to gain weight back too. And I would eat, and especially late at night. And my mom was a caterer, and she could cook. She'd bring those things from the, you know, banquets or whatever, you know, I mean, cakes that were and I won't, I'm stop mentioning foods, but stuff that was just as good as you would ever get. And, you know, my brother and I would plow through those. And I was putting weight back on, but I was still taking the speed, so that was keeping it down. And then when I graduated high school, I moved out. I'd worked all summer when I was 14 at a place and bought a drum set at the end of the summer and taught myself how to play over the years. And so I moved in with my new bandmates, and we would drink lots of beer and practice, you know, rehearse. There was a ballet studio next door that we converted into our rehearsal space. And that was my dream, you know, I'd have our own place and, you know, do whatever I wanted to, and we'd play gigs once in a while. And I started to drink a lot, you know. I was still on the speed, too. But I was still gaining weight the whole time. It was like I'm a triple winner in many ways. And I ended up meeting a woman with three kids and getting married. She was pregnant. And I'd still play in bands around town and all that. But, you know, I'd have to work a day job now, too, because I had a family and all that, which I didn't like. And my weight just kept going up and up. It was the first time I went to Weight Watchers. I just before the wedding, I hit 300 pounds. My mom took me in to buy me a jacket for the wedding. And I was amazed at what size I was wearing. Amazed is a poor word. I was devastated by what size I was wearing. And we had the wedding, and all of a sudden there's all this pressure on me. I've got a family. You know, really out of nowhere, I've got three kids, another one on the way. And that drove me back into the eating pretty hard. I went to Weight Watchers the first time and followed directions. And, you know, you go in, and if you lost a pound or something, I could get applause and all that. And I liked that. And I was losing weight pretty steadily. And then on the dates where you didn't lose anything, you know, there wouldn't be anything. It wouldn't be booing or anything. But, you know, I think a lot of us have been through there. And, eventually, I just thought, well, it's not working, you know, because I'm not losing weight anymore. Well, even though I was starting to eat more, it was somebody else's fault. And I got, I left and started putting on weight. I went to TOPS, which is a support group for people that want to lose weight. I think there's still meetings all over the country, I think. Take off pounds sensibly. And actually, my third grade teacher was in it. And that was cool. But I was the only guy. Which I've been in a lot of things like this, the only guy. And I was in there for a while, and it helped me too, a lot of support. And then it did work, you know, because I was eating. And I was a few years after that, and I was over 300 pounds again. And my brother, who had been in AA for about 5 or 6 years sober, one day said, you know, there's a 12-step group for people that have trouble controlling their eating. It's called Overeaters Anonymous. Do you want to go? And I said, well, you know, he said, well, you know, just let me know. And he'd bring it up once in a while. And he brought it up one day, and I said, okay, you just caught me at the right moment, which is really important, you know, with somebody you're trying to get into a 12-step program. You never say, oh, you need to go, blah, blah. You just bring the subject up. And I went, and the people around me were telling my story. And I was in OA for a little over a year, actually, because I started working out of the Big Book, which nobody did in Boise at that time, because my brother had gotten sober working out of the Big Book, and he showed me how. And I had an AA sponsor, you know, showing me. And I lost over 100 pounds in about a year, and it was remarkable. And I made my first contact with the power greater than myself, which was total. I never thought that would happen. So I'm down, the weight's going good, my marriage is everything, marriage is better. You know, I wasn't playing a whole lot of drums at that point because I had this kind of religious awakening. All of a sudden I thought that was kind of sinful. So I sold my drums, which is a really stupid thing to do. And I worked in this place in Meridian, another town around there. And, everything was going great. And then, and like it just seemed like it was from out of nowhere, I just didn't go anymore because I was fixed again. You know, I got what I wanted. And I had this relationship with God, and my wife would go to church with kids, and I'd start going to church with them. One day we were at church, and my littlest one, he was about two, and he was acting up in church, so I brought him out, and we got in the car, and I was mad. And just sit there. And he had enough of it and opened the passenger door and took off running. And he took off running. There was a little slope up to the sidewalk, and I followed him. I tripped on the curb, and because I was running up an incline, I had very little time, didn't even have time to put out my hands, and smashed my face into the sidewalk, broke my nose, knocked a tooth out, and there was blood all over the place. And he went in and got his mom, came out, and they took me to the hospital. And, you know, I got some stitches and stuff. It wasn't all that serious. But that was the end of it for me and God. God was supposed to be, you know, God didn't protect me. And that's the disease. So eventually I divorced my wife because she was my problem. I was drinking more and I was eating. And although the weight stayed down for a while, I was still on the speed. And I quit that to go on the road with the band. And one day I couldn't get any speed to go out of town, so I kind of withdrew from it. You know, I had to, and I haven't taken it since. So that part was good. When that band broke up, I was back in town, and all this time my weight was creeping up, and I got a really good job. I drove school bus for a while, which I really enjoyed. I really liked the kids, and then I went to the city bus system, which paid much better. It was a union job and all that. And pretty soon I had enough money. I bought a house and, you know, had my own house and had my friends, and we'd have parties, and I was drinking and eating and really slowly but surely going out of control. My eating was, I would, every Friday night I would get off work, head down the freeway towards my house, stop at a Mexican fast food place and get enough food for three people and eat it before I went to sleep. You know, every Friday, and I was just losing it. And I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes at some point. And I thought, this is it. I've got to lose this weight or I'm not going to die. My sponsor at the time said, you know, 2 out of 3 diabetics die from heart attack or stroke. And I said, yeah, well, I'm taking it off. And I started losing weight. I lost about 30 pounds, I bet, in a month. But, you know, when you weigh that much, It's easier to lose weight because you have more weight to lose. I don't know. But don't quote me on that. It's probably not a scientific fact, but it was that way for me. And after 30 days, that was gone. No thought about it. Pretty soon, my mental illness was getting worse too. I couldn't get out of the house. And I just tipped 400 pounds and my mother died, and that sent me deeper into it. And in December, my brother would come over a couple of times a week and we'd just talk. And he knew, he knew I was getting near the end. And one day, I out of nowhere, I just said, well, what would you do if you were me? And he said, well, let's go back to OA. And I said, okay. And we went over to a meeting not far from where I was living. And this lady sitting across the table said, that's the man that saved my life, because I'd sponsored her when I was the only one working out of the big book. I was sponsoring some woman. And I said, well, no, God saved your life. That wasn't me. But I weighed a little over 400 pounds. And I started working the steps out of the book again. And the weight started coming off. And I met a woman that I'm in the best relationship I've ever been in my entire life. I'm a step grandpa, you know, four grandkids, which is beautiful. I love this woman like I've never loved anybody in my life, because it's love. It's God's love. It's selfless most of the time. And I kept the weight off. It's been I'll be 15 years in December. And what I do now is sponsor people. I get to a meeting every day unless I've got a damn good reason not to. And I'm, you know, I'm retired, so I can do that. You know, not everybody can do that. But I pray for the power to go in to help somebody else, because doing it for me to lose weight or keep weight off doesn't work. It does for some people, especially early on. But
a reminder, Dave, 5 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary. I've gotten a great respect, if you want to call it that, for the power of this disease and the number of people it kills every day. And whether it's alcoholism or drug addiction or codependency or rage or whatever, this disease is very powerful and gets, it's progressive. So the farther you go on, the more stronger it's going to get. But I found the solution. And, you know, I found it in the big book. Not everybody has to work out of the big book. Some people can work out of the OA material. And some people find they don't need to work steps at all and they can control it. But I'm living proof that this disease can kill you. You know, whether it's drug addiction or alcoholism or whatever the symptom is. Big book says our bottles were but a symptom. And for me, the food, the eating behaviors, all that are just a symptom of what's wrong with me. And attacking the symptom like I used to do by trying to diet or, you know, shots or whatever is like blowing your nose to cure pneumonia, because the pneumonia is going to kill you and you'll have a nice clear nose. Sorry, I got a strange sense of humor. There's a real answer here, and not everybody has to do what I have to do, because not everybody's as sick as I am. But if you're really out of ideas, if you can't control your eating for very long, or you can't control it at all, then there's a real solution here. You know, and I had to find somebody to show me through it, find a sponsor, and I've lost a lot of weight, and I'm sponsoring people, and life is really good. But the thing that really amazes me is almost instant fellowship, most instant common bond I have with people that go into OA meetings, because we share this disease and we share this pain, and many of us share the solution and the joy of that solution. You know, I was agnostic when I came in here. I didn't really believe in God. Well, actually, I was just too mad because of what happened to believe there was a loving God. What's in it for me? What's in it for Dave? And I found that there is some sort of power in the universe, and I'm not going to define it for anybody, but there is something real. And that's why I'm alive today, and that's why I'm here to pass this message on to you. And I love this group. I really love this group. This is fantastic. If there's anything good that came out of the COVID, this is it. You know? And I think I'm going to end there. Thank you so much. I love you.